Broad new rules out this week for the state-run health insurance exchanges, playing a key role in President Obama's health care overhaul. The exchanges, as you may know, are designed to help people who don't have insurance through work or a government program, such as Medicare or Medicaid, get covered. You do have to pay for the insurance. You can get help with that depending on how much you make, and these exchanges are supposed to be in place by the beginning of next year. Of course, the Supreme Court is set to hear arguments soon about whether requiring people to pay for insurance or pay a penalty is constitutional. Earlier, I talked about what's already changing and what could be stopped in its tracks with Gail Wilensky, senior policy fellow at Project Hope. She's also a former advisor to the first President Bush on health care issues.
I think people are beginning to understand how much work needs to happen. The fact that there is a Supreme Court hearing, which will be at the end of this month, with a ruling anticipated at the end of June, has made it difficult, I think, for some states to want to invest too much time until they know what, if any, portions may exist going forward. But this rule reminds people they don't actually have very much time. It's supposed to have all states able to demonstrate they have a state exchange that can meet the federal standards by January 2013. If they can't do that, then the federal government will come in and make its own exchange available, although the administration has been advocating a lot of flexibility so that if states aren't ready January 1st, but they can demonstrate they would be able to offer plans by October of next year to allow the plans to set up their exchanges a little bit late. It's a reminder, though, about how much work has to happen, not just on the exchanges, but also to accommodate the 16 million more people who are going to be covered under Medicaid. That's really the other piece, in addition to subsidized private insurance, that will substantially lower the number of uninsured, roughly half by expanding the Medicaid program and half by offering subsidized insurance through these exchanges to people who now are uninsured.
We have talked before about how dangerous it is to play a what-if game with this Supreme Court decision. Let's just say that in the end, the justices decide that the mandatory purchasing of insurance is unconstitutional. Does that automatically kill the exchanges, or does it just change them in some way?
I don't think it kills them at all. The particular mandate that was put in place might not be very impactful and therefore might not be very impactful if it were declared unconstitutional. And the reason is the penalties for people who don't purchase insurance are very light, no more than several hundred dollars in the first year for individuals who don't purchase insurance. But the constraints on insurance companies in terms of being able to charge people with high expected use any more money because they wait until they actually need the plan are very stringent. So I would argue that the mandate as it's constructed could well encourage people who don't really want to buy insurance to wait until they know they need it and then buy it when it's clear they'll need to use it right away. So I'm among a relatively smaller group of people who think if the Supreme Court deems the mandate unconstitutional, it will have far less effect than some people have suggested.
Now, of course, most of us are not involved in the setup of these exchanges. We're just waiting and watching. Is there anything we can do individually as this thing unfolds?
It's certainly important for us to adopt healthy habits. So much of what we spend on health care reflects poor choices in terms of diet, substance abuse, lack of exercise. The big issue for individuals is to make sure that their states are proceeding in a way that meets their views about what's appropriate to help people get insurance coverage. Even for people who argue against parts of the Affordable Care Act, there are very few people who think it isn't appropriate for people to have some kind of coverage so that when they get seriously ill, they won't be financially ruined as well as medically affected. Also need to worry about how people will receive care, especially in states that have large numbers of uninsured people who all of a sudden are going to be covered by either expanded Medicaid or expanded insurance. I really worry about some of the very high uninsured states and what they're doing to get ready so that when people actually get coverage, they don't find it really meaningless because there aren't people there to provide services. It's going to be a big shock to the system. And frankly, it's likely to mean that even those of us who have had coverage for a long time might find ourselves jostling with others who are newly insured to try to get in to see physicians. I don't think states in general have been really very focused on how much stress they might see in their states when it comes to providing care to these newly insured populations. And they don't have a whole lot of time left to get themselves going.
Gail Wilensky, she is Senior Policy Fellow for Project Hope, former advisor to the first President Bush on health care issues, and she joined us on Skype.